This is Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ. Now here's your host, Mark Shuttleworth.
It is Rock Talk. My name is Mark Shuttleworth, and we have two folks joining us on the phone. We have Tina Catone, who is a nurse in the GI unit at the University of Rochester Medical Center, and the director for an event called Strollin' for the Colon. And we're going to be chatting with her. Hello, Tina. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. And then we've got Dr. Danielle Marino joining us on the phone as well. Dr. Marino, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Let me have that title, Dr. Marino. What is your title?
I'm an associate professor of medicine in the Division of Gastroenterology and Hepatology at the University of Rochester Medical Center.
Okay, usually during the interview, what I'll do is I'll reset the interview and I'll reintroduce everybody. I will not be saying your title later in the interview. That is a mouthful. Holy cow. But you're a very important person to have on the line. So we're going to talk about there's a 5K walk run called Strollin' for the Colon that's coming up. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, let's talk about the importance of colon cancer awareness. Dr. Marino, what do we need to know?
What you need to know is that colon cancer is the third most common cancer in both men and women in the United States. And it's the second leading cancer killer in the United States. Importantly, colon cancer is preventable with screening. And so it's really unfortunate that something that can largely be prevented is killing so many people as it is in the United States. It's estimated that 1 in 20 people will develop colorectal cancer at some time in their life. And the odds of that are even higher if cancer runs in the family.
Wow, that is those are really sobering numbers. So let's talk about family history awareness. This is key when it comes to colon cancer. Is that right?
Absolutely. So, you know, screening begins at age 45 for most people with average risk, and that's a change. It used to be starting at age 50, but over the past couple months, the United States Preventive Services Task Force changed their guideline recommendation to start at age 45 instead, because we're noticing that younger people are developing colorectal cancer. However, if there's a family history of colorectal cancer, patients need to start earlier. And so it's so important that patients know their family history and bring that information to their doctor so that they can be screened with the appropriate test and at the appropriate time. So for instance, if you have one or more family members who've been diagnosed with colorectal cancer, especially before the age of 60, you might need to start your screening at 40. And hopefully we'll talk a little bit about the different screening options. But for patients who have a significant family history, the only screening option that's appropriate is a colonoscopy in that setting. In addition, one other thing I want to mention that's important about family history is that there are a lot of cancers that can be related to colorectal cancer that most people who aren't in the medical field and even some in the medical field don't realize and don't connect the dots. So, for instance, there's a hereditary syndrome called Lynch syndrome, where patients are at increased risk of colorectal cancer, but they're also at increased risk of many other types of cancers, especially uterine, ovarian, breast, pancreatic. And so it's really important to find out your family history in terms of all different cancers, not just colorectal cancer, and the ages of the family members when they develop those cancers, and to bring that information to your doctor, because your doctor can then look at that information and decide, is this someone in whom we need to be worried about a particular type of syndrome that might increase your risk? And then you may need genetic testing or, you know, screening for other kinds of cancers as well as just the colorectal cancer.
So when you're talking about family history, of course, you're talking about mother, father, that grandfather, grandmother, that kind of thing. How far, I mean, if it's elsewhere in your family, is that a red alert as well? Or are we strictly going like straight back down your family tree?
Yeah, so it can be. I mean, the most important ones are the first degree relatives, which are parents and siblings and children. But second degree relatives, including grandparents, aunts and uncles, and even in some situations, cousins, can be important as well. So really trying to gather that information about everyone in your family is important to know. And especially nowadays when, you know, your doctor, in the old days, the doctor would take care of you and your whole family. So they'd know everyone's history and they would be alert to these things. But these days, that doesn't really happen very often. And so it's really each patient's responsibility to know that information and bring it to their doctor.
So this is something if you are, you know, if you're in your 40s, let's say, and you know that there's a history of colon cancer in your family, you should bring that to the attention of your primary care physician the next time you see them, kind of thing, and alert them that way.
Absolutely. And if there's a change in the family history, so if someone in your family develops a cancer, you know, in between your appointments, it's reasonable to even reach out to the doctor on the phone or through the portal just to let them know the family history has changed and maybe you need to be seen sooner or be referred to a specialist for screening. So it's just important to keep people, your doctor, apprised of that.
I know there's some people, and I'm related to some of these people, that they don't like going to the doctor and they don't like bringing things up. They don't like, you know, because, well, I don't want to be a pain. Oh, it'll be a bother. Oh, it's probably nothing. But this is not something that you trifle with, right?
Right. I mean, you know, this is one of the many barriers that I think exist in colorectal cancer screening. But it's not something that should be swept under the rug or that one should feel embarrassed or reluctant to talk about because it really could impact a lot of people in your family. And so, you know, I think we all, as parents, you know, want to take care of our kids and keep them safe. And a really important part of that is making sure that they're educated and know exactly what they're at risk for and get screened early and appropriately if they need to. So sharing that information is critical.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned, did you use the word it's preventable or was that the term you used earlier? So tell us about that, the importance of like a timeline. Like if you are actively on top of this and there's an at risk with your family, you go at 40 for a colonoscopy or you start talking to your physician at 40 about it, as opposed to waiting until you're 50, to 10-year span there, we're talking about a very different situation.
Yeah. So just to clarify, screening starts at 45 now. It used to always be 50. Now it's 45. But the beautiful thing about colorectal cancer and the reason that screening is so effective in this entity is because there is a prolonged precancerous stage. So from a normal colon to a polyp, which is a precancerous growth, to a cancer, that can take on average 10 years in an average risk family, someone who doesn't have a hereditary syndrome, who doesn't have a familial risk. And so that gives us time to be able to get the colonoscopies done to remove those precancerous polyps before they turn into cancer. And that's why screening is so effective. However, if you know you do have a significant family history and you wait too long, unfortunately, you could develop, you know, cancer in that time frame. And the other thing is that, you know, screening not only can prevent it, but can find it at an earlier stage. So even if we find colon cancer, finding it at stage one or localized to the colon only is a very different entity than if you find it at stage four when it's spread outside of the colon. So if it's found in stage one, that's curable. And getting screening at an appropriate time can not only prevent it, but also find it at a sooner stage where treatment will be curative.
Yeah, we're speaking with, we have Tina Catone on the phone with us, and we're speaking with Dr. Marino as well. And we're speaking about, colon cancer, and we're talking about strolling for the colon event. We're going to get to the more of that coming up. From a personal standpoint, I had spoken to my physician about, you know, some things that I was experiencing, and he recommended that I go and have a colonoscopy at age 40, and I'm 43, I think, now. 43, 40, doesn't matter, 44. So I went for my first colonoscopy at 40, and I have no family history of really any cancer, really. And they found some precancerous polyps. And so now I'm on this program where I go back every few years. And I tell you, I feel so much better about that. You know, I was thinking, oh, I'm not going to find anything. They did, but now I'm on this now there's an alert to it. And, you know, being proactive, I just feel better about it. I feel safer about it.
And you should, because, you know, like I said, it usually takes a long time. Those polyps probably would not have turned into cancer before 45, but now you're getting checked even more frequently. And if you follow through, it's very unlikely that you'd ever develop colon cancer.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was. I mean, once I came out of from under the anesthesia, and I understood what was going on, when they said that, it was very sobering. It, you know, because you come to a point where you realize, well, you know what, I'm not invincible. Well, you know what, I am getting older. Well, you know, my body is, you know, doing these things, and yeah, I mean, there was just a kind of a, oh, I'm really glad I did this. I'm really glad I made that phone call. I'm really glad I came in today, and I'm really glad I have a plan moving forward. And there's a lot of freedom in that, I think.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about, so we were talking about colonoscopies, but there's other screening options as well. Can you speak to our audience about that, Dr. Marino?
Sure. So, you know, in general, a colonoscopy is the gold standard and the best test because not only is it cancer detecting, but it's cancer preventing, as we talked about. So we can find the polyps, we can remove them before they turn into cancer. But you know, there can be barriers to getting that done. You need to have a ride. You need to take the day off of work. You get sedated. It is a somewhat invasive procedure, so there are some risks to it. There are financial barriers as well at times. And so there are other options for folks who feel like that's, you know, not the best option for them at this time. And those include stool testing, looking for blood. That's called a FIT test, F-I-T. And that basically just looks for microscopic blood that can be found in the stool that can be shed by polyps or cancer. And that test needs to be repeated every year. And if it becomes positive, then it does need to be followed up by a colonoscopy. These tests are nowhere near as good as a colonoscopy in terms of finding polyps. But if you do it every single year, because of that long precancerous stage, it works. It is very effective in, you know, preventing colon cancer if you follow through with a colonoscopy for a positive test. The other option is something called a fecal DNA test, which is another stool test. The name brand of that is called Cologuard. You may have seen the commercial with the little box on TV. That is a stool test also that you kind of collect your stool at home, send it into the company. It looks for blood in the stool, but it also looks for little pieces of DNA that may be shed from colon polyps or cancer. And so that test is slightly better at picking up polyps than the stool FIT test alone. And again, if it's positive, needs to be followed up with a colonoscopy. Those are really the main tests. There is a virtual colonoscopy called a CT colonography. It's basically a CAT scan. But usually insurances don't cover that unless the patient has been unable to get a colonoscopy for certain reasons. And that also requires a preparation the day before. So it really doesn't make it all that much more convenient than going through with the colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. And then there's a flexible sigmoidoscopy, which is just looking at half of the colon. And that's really fallen out of favor now because we know that a lot of the polyps grow on the other side of the colon that the sigmoidoscopy doesn't reach. So really, if you're going to be going under sedation and having a procedure, you should have the full colonoscopy.
Okay. We're speaking about colon cancer. We're going to be speaking about an event coming up called Strolin' for the Colon. Tina Catone is on the phone with us and Dr. Marino as well. Some wonderful resources here when it comes to colon cancer. So let's say somebody's listening right now, and as you said, it used to be recommended everybody get a colonoscopy by the age 50. Now it's been lowered to 45. Let's say that somebody's listening and they're 55, 60 years old, and they haven't had one yet. They need to bring that up immediately to their doctor, and they should get moving toward there, right? And not be, you know, just because you're past that age milestone, don't be embarrassed about bringing it up and getting moving on it.
Right. Absolutely. Tina, you talk to patients like this all the time. What do you tell them when they bring it up?
Well, most patients are real sketchy about having the PrEP. They say it's the worst thing ever. I tell them, no, it's really not. I can speak from experience. The PrEP is really worse than the procedure. You're just asked to be on a special diet for the day before, clear liquids, and then you go in, you have the nurse put the IV in, they give you some good sedation, and that's pretty much the end of it. You wake up in recovery. I usually wake up and I don't even think that it's done yet. So I think that the fear of the unknown is what most people are afraid of, and, oh, I can't do this. And, you know, men are embarrassed. They don't want to talk about it, but it's so important to get it done.
Especially when you're talking about, you know, if you hit that age, 40, you know, what was 50, now 45, if you start early, if they find anything, the survival treatment rate is incredibly high in most cases. So, you know, the chances of a very good outcome are very high the sooner you grab the bull by the horns kind of thing.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And
Mark, I would say to the patients who are late, you know, better late than never. And
right.
It's never too late to start. I mean, I don't want to say never. You don't want to start at 85, but
right.
It's better to start at 55, 60, 65 than to never do it at all.
Yeah, and I want to since you Tina brought up the procedure itself. Everybody told me, "Oh, the prep is terrible. The prep for me was really a piece of cake. It was nothing compared to how people had painted the picture. And
right,
then you, like
right.
you say, you wake up and you're done. My wife was next to me. The doctor
right.
was talking to her, and I was just like watching this conversation happen. And then the next thing I know, I'm like in the car and I'm on my way home. And yep. that was it. But the IV was the part that stands out to me. So if you're okay, this procedure is a piece of cake. It is a piece of cake, and it's well worth taking the time to do.
And it can save your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let's turn to Tina. We were just speaking with you. Let's talk more about this event that's coming up, Strolling Forward the Colon. I love the name of this, by the way. it is very, very memorable, obviously. But tell us about the event and how people can get involved.
So the event, Strolling for the Colon, Tony's Race, we started this event actually in 2012. My sister was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. She did not survive, sadly. But we talked to a colleague, a friend of mine at work, and we said, you know, there's not a lot of awareness about colon cancer screening, and there needs to be. So we didn't have any money. We didn't have anywhere to do it. We had, you know, just ideas, and we said we can pull this off. So we did. 2012, we pulled it off, our first event, and she was able to come, my sister, and the next year they made the walk in her memory. But what I want to say is that she never had a colonoscopy. She was 57 years old. She did have symptoms that she brought to her doctor, and they just sort of poo-pooed them off. I didn't know that. Go figure, I'm a GI nurse. How could you not know your sister's history? Didn't know it. And it was too late. So getting back to our event, we have, this is our 10th year. COVID prevented us from having it last year. This year, it'll be at Mendon Ponds Park, Stewart Lodge, and it is on September 11th. And we will have a food truck. We will have an ice cream truck, face painting for the kids. There'll be a fun run for the kids. And our mission is to make the public aware of colon cancer, and to help fund research locally and educate the public on the importance of family history and colon cancer screening. So our walk normally starts at 10 o'clock. We have a kids' fun run that will follow that. Pre-registration online, you can register until September 9th at www.raceroster.com or at our website, strollingforthecolon.org. Tony's Race, and registration is $25 a person prior to the event, $30 day of the event, and it's a great event, just sponsored by the University Gastroenterology and Hepatology Division, and we would love everybody to get their family and friends and come out and just enjoy the day for a really great reason to come out and spread the word.
Yeah, and I'm going to mention it because sometimes I think people think, well, I don't have anybody who's been affected by colon cancer, so no, come out to this event. This is a wonderful event for an outstanding cause, and like Tina said, it's to raise awareness of screening, which is so very important. Pull up their website. I've got it up in front of me right now, strollinforthecolon.org. It's a great website. There's a donate button I see at the top, so you can click on that. You can donate right now, right? You don't actually have to come out to the event. You could just donate right now.
That's correct.
Yeah, and you guys have made a big impact over the years as far as funds that you've raised.
Yes, we have. I wanted to mention that we raised over $100,000, and all of the proceeds stay locally in Monroe and Livingston County. So we've donated to the Get Screened Finger Lakes campaign, to the American Cancer Society, Wilmot Cancer Center, and not to mention multiple research projects looking at colon cancer and colon cancer screening and hereditary syndrome.
And doing this over 10 years, you really have no idea how many lives you've impacted by doing this, by putting a bug in somebody's ear, like, you know, maybe I do need to bring this up. Maybe I do need to be proactive. And like you said, Tina, with the story of your sister, which is just heartbreaking, she did the right. She mentioned symptoms to her doctor.
That's correct. She did. Yeah. And, you know, they weren't big symptoms. They were just sort of pain up underneath her right rib cage, but it didn't go away. In 18 months, she, you know, was telling her this, something's wrong. And then, well, we'll send you for an ultrasound and maybe, and then called her at her job and told her that she had liver cancer. It had eaten through the wall of her intestine into her liver. And, you know, then just spread from there to the lungs. And then it ended up in her brain. So it was really horrible. And it could have been prevented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So bring it up to your doctor, be an advocate, you know, don't be afraid to be an advocate for yourself and make sure that you're getting the screenings done, everybody. And like you said, Dr. Marino, you said they just brought down, like, very recently the recommended age from 50 down to 45.
Yeah, absolutely. We unfortunately have been seeing an alarming trend of colorectal cancer happening in patients young, you know, even in their 30s. Mm. And so it was, the evidence was looked at and it was determined that it makes sense to decrease the screening age to 45. But even in patients who are below 45, like I mentioned, we're seeing it in 30s. I've diagnosed a few patients in their 20s with colon cancer. Mm-hmm. So it's really important, you know, when you do have symptoms, like you said, Mark, bring them to your doctor and really be an advocate. If it's something that is persistent, don't take no for an answer. You need to be evaluated. You need to be worked up for symptoms. And symptoms that would be concerning for colon cancer would be blood in the stool, persistent abdominal pain that's, you know, new for you, changes in bowel. So if you all of a sudden start getting more constipated than usual or unexplained weight loss, these are all things that are concerning and should be brought to your doctor. And, you know, you may need to have a colonoscopy sooner than age 45 if you have any of those symptoms. But, you know, we used to, if we saw patients with rectal bleeding at a really young age in their 20s, you know, oh, it's hemorrhoids, probably, no worries. I take that really seriously now. I don't, you know, it probably is hemorrhoids, but I'm not going to be okay with knowing that until I do the colonoscopy and make sure it's not something more serious.
Yeah.
Because we are seeing it too often in these younger ages.
You'll sleep better at night knowing that you've brought the question up, that you've followed through with the test as well, and know what you're up against. Either it's nothing or it's something, but we're handling it. You'll mm-hmm. you'll sleep better. Your family will be happier with that as well. Is there anything that let me hit the website again. It's strollinforthecolon.org. Go there. You can find out more about the event that's coming up September 11th. You can be involved. You can walk $25, I think you said, to register now, $30 to register day of the event. You can also donate directly through that website, strollinforthecolon.org, and all that money stays local, which is key. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with supporting things that are national and bigger, but in some of these instances, you know, that money staying local is important, and we encourage you to support this way. Is there anything, Dr. Marino, Tina, that we haven't covered today that you think our audience needs to know?
I think we've covered most of it. Line is find out your family history, talk to your doctor, be in tune with your body, and get screened when you should.
Yeah.
And come join us at Strolling for the Colon because it's so much fun. We're going to have bands and food, and it's going to be a great event.
Register by Friday, August 27th for a free T-shirt.
We'll also have two inflatable colons. So,
that's right.
those are the finish lines for the race. So.
Gotcha. Inflatable colons. So
yeah.
Is that a special order job for inflatable colons, or is there?
Absolutely. We got one flying in from where, Tina?
One is flying in from, I think it's Minnesota, and then we have another one that's going to be for the kids' event, too. We normally just have one, but this year we're going to have two.
Yeah, it's a big year.
Ten-year.
Real quick, I know we're wrapping up here, but real quick, given COVID and how that impacted things for the last 18 months, you know, or so, a lot of people neglected going to the doctor. They neglected their own care because everybody was focused on masks and COVID, and of course that was very important, but people weren't seeing doctors about other things. That's important to do. Now that things are opening back up, get to your doctor, right?
That is such a great point. Unfortunately, we've seen a lot of patients who have, you know, not followed through on things or have been unable to get into the doctor because of COVID. And unfortunately, that's going to have some downstream effects. But, you know, we are taking all the precautions that we need to. People are being tested. Everyone's masked. So there's no reason to avoid the testing or the doctor's appointments that you need just because of COVID. Life needs to carry on because COVID's going to be with us for a while.
There you go. I love it. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your stories and for putting the Strolling for the Colon event together. Didn't have it last year. It's coming back this year, and going to raise a lot more money. We need you to get involved with this. StrollingForTheColon.org. Tina, thank you for your time. Dr. Marino, thank you for your time and your wisdom. We really appreciate you guys sharing with our audience today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
You've been listening to Rock Talk, a community issues presentation of Legends 1027 WLGZ, a part of the DJRO Broadcasting Company.